All right. Good morning, everybody. My name is Larry Shackman, and you are watching or listening to the Real Estate Radio Show. And we are happy to have you here this Saturday morning. So I hope you guys are enjoying a great weekend. We've had like a run of just great weather here in Chicago Metro. It's going to continue this weekend, and hope everybody's out there taking advantage of it. You know, it's crazy. I've been a real estate broker for 25 years. I'm also a title agent and, you know, had a very large REO business when we all went through that whole REO foreclosure meltdown, 2008 through 2017 or so. You still see a few foreclosures trickling on the market now, but, you know, so yeah, I've been a broker for a long, long time, and I've seen a lot. I've seen like pretty much every market that you can see. Seller's market, buyer's market, low interest rates, high interest rates, lots of foreclosures, lots of short sales, no foreclosures, you know, typical retail market. And I got to tell you, I'm starting to sense that there's a shift in this market right now. So we're going to talk about that. I'm going to bring on John Hoffman, the broker owner for Y Rent Real Estate out in Batavia. Let's bring John on and let's talk about it. Hey, John.
What's up, Lawrence?
How are you doing?
Good morning to you.
Where are you? You playing softball or what?
No, I'm sitting in my patio, sitting on my patio, just having a cup of coffee and talking to you.
Dude, have we had like the best weather for the last 5 or 6 days?
Yeah, and I saw it's like 10 days out. It's like mid 80s and no rain.
Yeah, no rain.
No rain's all that great, but I mean, like a little bit, but there's no rain that I can see.
Yeah, we have had just amazing weather for the last, and like you said, it's going to continue on for the next almost 2 weeks.
Yeah, no doubt. How's business?
Good. You know, I'm renting this place in Evanston today. So I'm going out there today, and a little challenging, but we're going to see if somebody doesn't show up today, they won't be renting this place. Let's put it that way. There, you know, it's funny because with everything going on in this market, man, I am running into a lot of game players out there. Are you?
Nah, yeah. I'll tell you what, I'm just working on a lot of mishmash, different stuff, rental land, you know, Kane County development, you know, a couple foreclosures, first time, but I really, the trends are hard to kind
of all over.
Yeah, and you know it's really sluggish right now.
Yeah,
for sure. You know, it's almost like ever since they instituted the lawsuit stuff, everything just fell off the cliff. You know, and I don't know. I don't think that would have anything to do with it, just because you know the general public doesn't really follow that kind of stuff. But it seems really. I mean, and you know, we do a lot of target marketing, and we're getting very little response right now. We had a great summer of great responses, listed some homes from it, but the last probably month and a half, and obviously the school, back to school stuff.
Yeah, I think that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, but it just seems slower than it should be.
Yeah. So I was mentioning, you know, and you've been a broker for a long time too. So we've probably both about the same time. I've been a broker for about 25 years.
Yeah, 30 years. Title,
what's that?
30 years here.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, as a broker, title agent, and I see a lot of stuff, right? And we've seen, both of us have seen an amazing amount of real estate in 30 plus years or 55 years between us. And the thing is that I'm really starting to see a shift, and two stats really stood out to me. And I made a little video about it earlier in the week, but, so 2/3 of the homes on the market right now have been on the market for 30 days or more.
Yep.
And I think 40% of the homes on the market have been on the market for 60 days or more. So, yep. You know, it wasn't that long ago you'd put a house on the market And, you know, you got people, even if you're in your pre-marketing phase, you got people blowing up your phone and saying, hey, I got to get my buyer in there, blah, blah, blah. Houses aren't flying off the market like they did a few short months ago.
No, definitely not. I mean, the stuff that's under 250, gone. You know, most of it's gone. But, you know what I'm seeing a lot of, and you're seeing it all over the country, is contract cancellations. And I've had three of them.
What's that? Seeing what?
Contract cancellations.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Midstream. Yeah. I've had three of those in the last 3 weeks where, I always call the agent, hey, why are they canceling? Cold feet. I've had three of those in the last 3 weeks. So it's like, okay, all right, that's getting.
And why did they cancel?
Cold feet. That's all they're telling me. I mean, the agents for the buyers are telling me that. They're like, yeah, he just got cold feet. Doesn't want to buy it anymore. You know, it's like, okay.
No kidding.
Yeah, I've had three of those, and I probably had one of them in the last year. Hold on, I'm being honed in by a bee.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I've had probably one of those in the last year, and I've had three of them in 3 weeks now, and those are signs of buyers are just getting don't want to mess around with this stuff right now.
And you know, it's funny, John, because the interest rates, you know, they fell pretty good this last week. I mean, according to the Wall Street Journal and information gathered from about 300 lenders across the U.S., the median rate for a 30-year fixed loan is 5.99%. That's nationwide. Right. You know, you're seeing some of them come in at 6.1%, 6.3% nationwide. When you take all, you know, all the information and, you know, put it all together, the rate is about 5.99% for a 30-year fix, about 5.25 for a 15-year fix. And, you know, rates are going down. And the feds, I would say, did they have their meeting yesterday? Did they drop the rate?
No, that's this week, I think, end of the week.
Okay. So, I mean, I expect they're going to drop their rate by about 0.25%, I think. I don't think they're going to go. Oh, yeah. I thought they were going to go 0.5%. I don't think they're going to. I think they're going to go 0.25% and then maybe 0.5% in December.
You know, and I'll tell you what, keep this in mind. A year ago, rates were almost 8. Okay. So that was 7.75, whatever. There was more demand then than there is now. And one of the things I'm telling you is the issue, because people can't afford them even with a 5.5% rate, because the taxes are too much, the insurance is too much, all that crap is through the ceiling. All the cost, I mean, you know, auto insurance, homeowners insurance. I mean, but consumers are broke now. You know, they don't have a savings anymore, and they just can't.
Huge amount of credit card debt.
Huge credit cards, the car payments, the, you know, corporate bankruptcies are up like, I think it's like 33% year over year. I mean, but and that's the problem, is that even though the rates have come down, there's no demand. The demand is less than it was when it was 8%.
Yeah, John, I think you hit on a great point, because and this is my opinion as well, and I think you'll probably agree with me on this. You just kind of did. So regardless of where the rates are, as long as inventory is so low and it's still being, you know, there's still downward pressure on inventory. We're still short about 2.8 million homes on the market right now. So as long as inventory is low, it doesn't really matter what the interest rate is because prices are not going down as long as inventory is low. So affordability, which is what you just pointed out, is a huge problem.
Right. Two years ago, they'd bid it up. They'd bid it over. No problem, because we got money. We got stimmy. You know, we got stimulus. We got PPP loans. We got whatever they need. People had money. They don't have money anymore. So it's like, well, I don't know if I should be buying something right now when I really can't afford it. You know, that's what I'm seeing. And I'll tell you what, I posted this on my YouTube the other day, a couple weeks ago. I looked at Kane County, DuPage County, and Kane County year over year. So 1 year, okay, the inventory was down 40% from a year ago. Those three counties down over a year, down 40%. Okay. But, and what was interesting though, the most interesting thing I saw was that the prices like from 600 and lower year over year were down. It probably even less than that, like four, I think it was about 480. Those prices were down like, you know, 20, 30%, 40%.
Mm-hmm.
And the only things that held their value were the higher end ones. And to me, that's what's keeping these values higher. That's why you are always seeing, oh, you know, values are up again, 0.2%. And that's because the people with money, they're putting it in real estate because they, you know, because of all this inflation and all that, they don't want their dollars to be useless.
Yeah, investor activity is definitely up right now. Yeah. I think that's going to continue.
Yep.
But yeah, I think affordability is the main problem here because, you know, listen, your interest rate, if, let's say we're at 5%, 5.5%. That's great. But if there's so little inventory on the market that it's driving prices up, it's going to put people in a tough position as far as affordability goes.
Right.
And I think that's why people aren't moving, you know, interest rates, whatever they are, if there's no inventory on the market for them to find a home to move into, and they're paying just as much or more to live in the same house that they're living in right now, they're actually going to pay more because if they're sitting on a 3% interest rate and they're moving into even a 6% interest rate, you are, if you're buying more house,
you're doubling down.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people are still having second thoughts about all that.
Yep.
And are
for sure. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, you don't hear about it cause it's not around here, but look at the markets in the South, in Texas, Austin, Florida, Tampa. Some of the inventory is up double over the last year and a half.
Oh yeah.
And it's sitting, dude, it's sitting. It's not like, oh, the inventory is up. Great. More deals for buyers. Nobody's buying this stuff.
So dude, I'm going to tell you something right now. Florida's market is melting down right now.
Right.
Florida's market and Texas too, but Texas Florida too. Specifically is like, I mean, they have a glut of inventory on the market. Just in the last about 8-10 months.
Right. And that's, you know, and if you know, for those who forget, you know, it's like, that's the same thing that happened in 08. It started melting down in the South and it worked all the speculative areas. That's where these crashes all start. You know, and I'm not saying, oh, we're going to crash next week, but it's all got the same fingerprints.
Yeah.
You know, it's starting in the South and that's going to work its way up.
No doubt about it. As a matter of fact, you know, while we're on the subject of affordability, according to the latest housing forecast from Fannie Mae, somebody you're and me are both familiar with.
I know her.
Right. We know her. So according to the latest housing forecast from Fannie Mae, home price growth is expected to, and I'm just taking a look at this because I want to make sure I get this right. So home price growth in the current year or in 2023 was 6%. That was the home price growth in 2023. Yeah. In 2024, they're predicting at the end of the day about a 4.7% rise. And in 2025, they're predicting, I think, about 3.1% rise.
Yeah.
So slowly but surely, there is some downward pressure on pricing right now.
Right.
But I think that's the key to everything. Until affordability gets in line here, I think we're going to have some issues here with in terms of activity.
Right. Well, and you got to keep in mind too, the jobs and all that, you know, people are like, you're getting really phony statistics out of the feds. It's like, how do you write down 816,000 jobs in a year? Oops. lost those. And I know, and they say, you know, when you know, you know, when people around you start getting laid off, and I know five people that I are in my direct contact list that are, we're working jobs for 5, 7, 10 years that are laid off right now.
Oh, really? You know, recently?
Recently, yeah. And that's why people see, you're not seeing it yet, you know, and everyone's like, oh, it's all great. Great. You know, no, it's not. And it's going to come to roost here soon, you know?
Yeah. There was that adjustment. And, you know, the good thing is when there's an adjustment, at least they tell us there's an adjustment. If they really wanted to be sneaky about it, they just wouldn't tell us, right? And they
Keep in mind, though, they adjust them down every month, but you don't hear about that.
Right.
Every I think it's like 13 out of 17 months, the last 17 months, they've been adjusted down. It's like, well, what the hell am I reading? You know, why even come out with it in the first place? You know,
but yeah, the job market is definitely soft. And I think that's one of the reasons we're going to see, you know, some kind of rate cut from the feds, which makes money, you know, less expensive to borrow for banks. But I don't know. I think interest rates are going to continue to go down, mortgage interest rates throughout, you know, the end of this year and going into next year. I really do. But, you know, it just gets back to that thing where if you don't have properties on the market to sell or enough properties, prices are still going to be up there. And it's going to put people in a trick bag for affordability. They're not going to be able to afford to move. It's just that.
They're not. I'm telling you right now, it's like, even if it got to 5, you'll get movement in the market, but people are still like, I can't afford it, dude. I got no money, you know? And that's the problem with it right now is people are out of money and there are those $800 truck payments that they got when they got stimulus. Well, those are catching up to them right now.
Man, you know? I know people that are walking around with $1,000 a month car payments. Yep. And I'm like, dude, I am not paying $1,000 or $1,500. I just went to look for a new car. And the car I wanted would have cost me, with what I was going to put down and everything, was going to cost me about $1,600 a month. And I'm like, okay. No, I'll buy a condo.
I know. At least you can't drive it, but at least you can sleep in it more comfortably.
Are you kidding me? I can rent my condo out. I can't rent my car out. New car.
It is. So, that's the stuff that's killing them now. And that's why they can't buy, you know?
So let me ask you something. You know, we talked about how, houses are lingering on the market now, right? More so than they were. I mean, some houses are still flying off the market. Right. I just had a house in Buffalo Grove sell in our pre-marketing stage before we actually came officially on the MLS while we were in the PLN. We sold for, I can't say for how much, but we were listed at $800,000. We're closing the 24th. And that sold before it ever hit the market.
Right.
With a sight unseen offer. And then of course we let her see it, but with a sight unseen offer, that's how bad they want it. So my point is there are houses out there that are still very sought after and are still flying off the market. But on the whole, 2/3 of the properties out there right now have been on the market for 30 days or longer. And about, 40% of the properties have been on the market for 60 days or longer. So what do you do when you have a seller and the property's been, you know, lingering on the market? What do you tell that seller in terms of what they can do to get some action on their property?
Well, I mean, I've always kind of handled it like, I always tell, you know, listings, the listings I have, I always tell them, it's like, look, you know, you can't go stale. You can't just sit there for 3 months at the same price. I always tell them, like, really a couple to 3 weeks is really the longest you want to sit there and not have any offers. Because, man, you get the 3 months and then you're going to get hammered on price, you know, just because that's the mentality of the buyer, you know. But, yeah, you gotta get them up front with that. I always tell them up front. I'm like, look, this is the game plan, you know. We're going to list it. And, you know, and I really in the first 2-3 weeks, I want to know how many showings they get and what's the feedback. And then you can work it from there, you know. But yeah, it's you know, that's the problem in this market right now is, you know, a lot of these sellers are like, oh, I want this and I want that. And it's like, well, you may not get all that now, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. You got to be prepared. You got to have a game plan. You got to be prepared to drive. I tell all my sellers, you know, going in that I'm a little different. I don't tell them to drop the price in 2 weeks. I tell them we're going to see what happens in the first 30 days because right. I really drill down price with them before we list. I let them know exactly.
You got to get it up front.
Yeah. How are you going to get as many eyes on this property as possible?
Right.
But if we're not under contract in 30 days, it is really important that we have another discussion about price because
absolutely.
The longer you linger on the market, the farther away you get from your list price. It's right. as simple as that.
Totally. Yeah.
If
you don't keep momentum and keep it moving, you'll go flat and stale. And I, anytime I'm going to get a price drop from a seller, I tell them, look, you know, it's been 3 weeks and you're on the market now for 2 months. It's time to get it. We got to keep the momentum going. You got to keep people coming through the door. You know?
And the other key I tell sellers also, or, you know, I suggest to sellers, because at the end of the day, you know, folks, it's your decision to make. We are going to give you our best advice based on our 25, 30 years of experience in the business. But at the end of the day, it's your choice and your decision what you're going to adjust the price to, what you're going to come on the market at. It's right. your decision. So I tell all my sellers, if we're going to adjust the price, you got to adjust it by at least 5%. Because if you don't, you're not adjusting it enough where it's going to be meaningful and you're going to get more eyes on the property, or maybe someone that saw the property previously may take a second look and say, hey, wait a second, they lowered the price. Let's make sure we're done with this property.
Yeah. I'll do. And what I do when I list the house too, and you know, and you're kind of unsure on price, I do a broker's tour right away and give out Starbucks cards, food, whatever. And if I can get five or six of those in the door to just give me a price and write it down, you know, and then you can show your seller, look, man, these all, you know, six of these guys said, you know, it's worth $450 and we're at $499. And that's okay. We're not going to jump on this right now because it's only been a week, but just letting you know. You know?
How successful are those broker open houses?
They're good. Those are really good. I mean, it's gotten harder to get people in the door just because I think most of these agents just don't want to work anymore.
Oh,
it's kind of sad. I'm in this industry and most of these guys are. They're not. You can't even get them on your phone. I mean, you call agents. I'll call an agent about a listing, and he says, "Hey, you know, a couple questions. Give me a call." Nothing. You don't even hear from them. But
listen, I'm going to tell you something. So again, we've both been in this business a while. I have to tell you, the agents that I'm dealing with can be really frustrating, and I don't mean to sit here and bash on our industry or anything.
Right.
But
me neither.
I have to tell you that it's kind of rough because, you know, you get people, like you said, they don't call you back. They don't answer their phone. And, you know, folks, we are not all created equally. Believe me, I've sold probably $400 million in real estate in my career. I'm sure John has sold close to that or maybe more than that. Who knows? But we're not all created equally. You know, there's a lot of bartenders out there with real estate license and they sell 200 a year. You know, that's not what we do. And that's not what full-time real estate agents do. You gotta know who you're working with. And I think it's important to vet the agent you're working with, which is one reason why I put together this little flyer. It's not a flyer. It's like a little book here. Right. Mm-hmm. And the 9 critical questions you need to ask your agent before you hire them. And I think it's important for people to do that, you know, have a plan. Don't use the first agent your mom or your brother referred you to.
Yeah.
Oh, make sure you're comfortable with that. That
happens. That happens more. Them not calling you back, not replying to emails, happens more often than you think. I mean,
agents.
It's incredible. I mean, it's like, you know, I don't even know what to make out of that. Why are you even in this if you're not even going to work it, you know?
Yeah, but, no, I agree. It's like, I mean, you're representing somebody that's either buying something that's the largest purchase they're ever going to make, or you're representing somebody where you're helping them sell a house that most of these people have all of their net worth wrapped up in.
Right.
And you're not answering your phone. I mean, this is why we get such a bad rap.
Absolutely. And it, you know, honestly, it's like that whole lawsuit deal. It's like, it wasn't even about we make too much money. It has nothing to do with that. I mean, you know, the commissions have always been negotiable. You know, I've read articles where it's like, oh, the 6% commission's now over with. It's like, it hasn't been 6% in 15 years around
what
here.
What a joke. I don't know anybody that charges 6% commission. Very few people.
Right. But my point is that, you know, that lawsuit was just, that was because we were, you know, our whole industry in the NAR was a weak, fat pig that didn't do their homework throughout. You know, I sat down at my desk and I was talking to one of my agents and I go, let's do the math. I go, I've been in this 30 years. You've been in it 25. Let's say we pay them 60 a month. I think it came out to like 18 grand. I've given NAR. And I sit there and I think to myself, what have I gotten from them? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Dude, the stupid realtor logo?
Yeah.
You know, that's my problem with that lawsuit was not about the money. It's not about what we charge. It's the fact that, you know, they caught us with basically NAR being a crappy organization that wasn't doing their homework. They had their own internal lawsuits going on. That's why that whole thing went down. You know, and then 100%. They settled. They didn't even go to bat to get the thing, you know, wiped away. You know, that's, I mean, the average realtor's income's like what, 65,000? How's
less.
That price?
The average realtor makes under 50 grand a year.
Under 50, whatever it is. It's like, no, it's like that. I mean, that was not about money, but on the surface, the perception is it's about money that we overcharge them. No, it's because the NAR was weak and feeble. Yeah. They got caught with their pants down and they just settled. We need to, you know, whatever. It's such a joke, you know. And
yeah,
I'm just
the NAR, in my opinion, has really let the real estate industry down and agents down. And they only exist because of us. You know, here's the thing here's my biggest complaint against the NAR. I have to be a member of the NAR in order to have access to the MLS. That is total BS, man. Yeah. Well, that's like I'm being held hostage.
Hey, I'll tell you what I'm seeing too is that MLS doesn't have the the foothold that it had before, because a lot of these investors and that they're selling on Zillow. They're just doing it on their own.
100%.
You know, yeah, I mean the MLS is kind of losing its luster. And, you know, that's why I don't, you know, NAR is just, you know, I don't know what their next move is, but you know, they think everything's going to be just fine. Like, oh, we settled, we're good. It's like, no, this isn't good. You settled.
Well, there's another association that started up out there.
I saw that AREA or whatever.
Yeah. I would suggest everybody goes and joins that organization. It's like $20 to join, or if you want to join, as a, I forget what they call it, a legacy member, then you could pay $1,500 and you're in forever. But I think agents should take a look at that because we need choices.
Right. It's, you know, the NAR is just, you know, they've really been exposed for what they are. And they were just collecting fees, you know, oh, we'll throw the NAR, you know, their big party they had. My agents all went to it like 2 years ago out in San Diego, you know, pay big money to go see a band play and whatever. And it's like,
oh, please.
You know, I mean, that's all they did.
I'll make my own party.
They didn't lobby for us. I mean, all I did was pay them money. I mean, I've literally paid them like 18 grand over my 30-year career. For what?
Yeah.
You know?
And hey, I'm going to share an article with you real quick before I let you go. I got to show this to you.
Yeah.
Because give me one second here. So, you know, there's this lawsuit. I mean, like the NAR, I think there's like 14 lawsuits they're dealing with now. But here's a lawsuit, a former employee of the NAR. NAR accuser outlines new details in lawsuit alleging retaliation. And what this really is about is an employee that worked there who she says was allegedly sexually harassed. And then when she brought it to her boss at the NAR, she was fired.
Of course.
Yeah. And her name is, her last name is Sheth. I don't know what her first name is. There she is there. Roshani Sheth. And she said, yeah, she was sexually harassed, allegedly. And it's in court now. And when she brought it to her boss ended up ignoring her. She ended up losing her job. And she is now going after the NAR. And, what this speaks to me, is kind of what you were talking about. It's like a frat party over there.
It is. It is. They've done nothing substantial. And I mean, think back, Larry, all the years we've been doing this. When do you ever remember? And what kills me is up until the last, 8 months to a year, I never got emails from them saying, Hey, here's what we're doing for you. Hey, you ever notice now you get 3 a week? You know, hey, John, NAR here, just letting you know, hey, we're here to help you with this transition with this new blah, blah, blah. It's like, where were you guys for the other 17 years? You know?
Yeah.
Were you guys? I never got shit from them. I mean, I remember I didn't even know where to go pay them.
Yeah. You know,
when I had to pay them for whatever that special, that yearly, whatever it was. It's like, you know, there's not even any help. I mean, there was nothing. They did nothing.
Well, you know why buyer's agents get such a bad rap, because the NAR has never really gone out there with any kind of campaign and told people how much work buyer's agents do.
Right.
I mean, they do an enormous amount of work.
Right. They think that, you know, that's the problem with all this BS, is that they think that we sit on our couches and make 6%. And it's like, no, dude, you know how many times we've had buyers or sellers that you didn't get them a house and they go, yeah, we're just going to rent, John.
That's what just happened to me with this Evanston deal.
Right. And that's, you know, four months worth of work in this era, a couple $100 in gas and no money in your pocket. We can't call in sick and get a check on Friday.
Yeah.
You know,
it happens all the time, right?
It happens all the time. And that's why that whole NAR thing was just what a fiasco. I mean, I'd like to see that whole NAR just collapse. And
I guarantee you they're not feeling real confident right now about their future. The problem is, John, they are so flush with cash.
Right.
They have so much money.
Right.
That, you know, it's hard for another association to break into that whole thing.
And that's why they settled, because they didn't want to lose all their cash.
Yeah.
You know, that's really why they did it. They just go, here, we'll give you all this. And that way there's still something left for us to keep. And then we'll all move on. And, you know, and you get these emails that are like, oh, we're here to help you transition into this new. Oh, you mean this bullshit that you started?
Yeah. The whole thing that you started, because you didn't preempt it with any, you know, letting people know what we do.
Right.
You know, it's insane. Yeah,
I'm telling you, man, it's like, you know, if I could get at them alone in a room, you know, we'd beat the crap out of that place. Because I'll tell you, you know, this is just laughable.
Let me tell you something. Pretty much every realtor out here feels the same way. And it's not because, listen, I'm still doing business. You're still doing business. Everything's moving along. But the reality of it is there a horrible shepherd of this industry. That's my opinion. The NAR is a horrible shepherd of this industry and just letting people know what realtors do. That's their job. What else is their job? I mean, well, you know, I don't know what they do.
It's like on the lawsuit thing too. It's like, okay, you know, the lenders are going to have something by January 1st where we can roll it into their, you know, the closing costs. Okay. And they're like, as long as it appraises out, well, what happens if it doesn't, you know? And it's like, you know, so then what? So now this buyer can't, you know, it creates more of a mess than it does solving problems.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Hey, check this out. Check this out. Okay. So I'm putting this house on the market in Elsa, and it's going to be somewhere around $400,000. Nice house, nice little bungalow, 3-bedroom, 2-bath, really nice little bungalow. And I think it's going to sell pretty quick. The seller does not initially said to me, they don't want to offer any type of buyer concession so that the buyer can pay their thing. And I said, well, I totally understand. I get it. It's a new world now, right? But here's what I would suggest you do. Rather than saying, I'm not going to pay any buyer agency commission, you're on your own, you're paying it. Rather than say that, just say, I'm not offering any, but I will certainly consider any offers that come in that request a concession so that the buyer can pay their buyer agency commission. Because if you're just going to completely knock every offer out of the box that is coming in, including a buyer agency commission, I got to tell you, you're in trouble because every offer that comes in is going to include that.
And that's what we're doing. I mean, as my office, I told them, don't confirm it. You know, don't even bother confirming it with the agent. Just submit it 3%, 2.5%, whatever the hell you're asking for. Excuse me. And just submit it. And every offer done, submit it, you know, and having these people where, you know, if people are afraid to sign up for, you know, that's what kills me is it's like, you know, we're supposed to sign these people up as a buyer. Now all of a sudden you got to do it day one. Well, what if, you know, you go have an open house, they walk in. What if they don't want to sign up? Excuse me. What if they're like, well, I want to get comfortable with you first, you know? And I told my agents, just do it house by house. Let's just do it you want to see this, sign here, you know, for this house. Boom.
You could have them sign a touring agreement where it's, and you could even make it non-exclusive. So for this house, I'm your agent. But if you want to go look at another house with another agent, go ahead and do that. It doesn't mean I'm going to continue working with you because that's a loser for me.
Right. It is. It's just, all it did was create more problems. That's all it did. It didn't solve. It solved maybe one problem, and it makes them think now we're not conspiring to raise commissions, which is the dumbest thing ever. You know?
Let's end on a happy note because me and you can sit here
and beat it up.
Oh, well, you know, there's a lot to talk about with the NAR and with a lot of stuff that goes on out there. But at the end of the day, listen, we're representing buyers and sellers, like I said earlier, that are buying or selling the most expensive thing they're at 9 out of 10 times that they're ever going to buy or sell. Right.
Right.
So, what do you got on the market now? What do you got going on? And tell everybody what's up out there.
I've got, I've got like 3 Fannies out there, Fannie Mae's foreclosures. One of them's a rehab out in Esmond, Illinois. Probably never heard of that, but that's out by itself. It's called Esmond, Illinois. Like Donnie.
You made
Esmond.
That up.
No, I did not. It's a town of about 12. It's at the DeKalb County, Boone County state line, or not state line, county line. Excuse me. But the, I got a county one. I have a county property that's where you can get assistance from the county to purchase that. Although I just did put that under contract on Friday.
Good.
But yeah, I mean, I've got probably about 5-6 listings trying to get more. But like I said, it's really, really slow right now, really sluggish. But, you know, we're always working on it to get it moving. So.
So listen, how do people, if they want to get in touch with a John Hoffman at Why Rent Real Estate, how do they do that?
You can give me a call, 630-601-1300. I pick up my phone 7 days a week, anytime.
I know you do.
630-601-1300. Always working it.
All right, man. Listen, let's have lunch next week and have a great weekend.
All right, buddy. Thanks for having me on. We will talk soon.
All right, man. I'll see
you. Take care. See
ya. I'll see you. Bye. All right, everybody. That was John Hoffman, broker owner at Why Rent Real Estate. And yeah, you know, there's a lot going on out there in the market and just with some of the changes we've had, but not so much that it's that confusing. It really isn't. So, you know, if you're looking to buy or sell or invest, or even if you're looking to rent, give me a call, 630-921-0611. Me, one of my one of the agents we have on our team over at Lux Group, LPT Realty, we're going to help you. We're going to help you maneuver through this whole, you know, crazy new real estate market. It's not that new. There's a couple basic changes that happened, but nothing that isn't going to stop you from achieving your goals in real estate if you're working with the right agent. And one of the ways you can make sure you do that is, like, I've taken the time to put together this active marketing plan. And the reason I did this is because I want people to see exactly how we are going to market your property. And we want to put that in writing. We want to show you how this works, how we pre-market your property, how we, you know, really drum up a lot of enthusiasm before your home is ever on the market, a lot of anticipation of your house coming on the market. And this active marketing plan explains that. So if you guys are interested in getting a copy of this, just give me a call, 630-921-0611, or you can even text marketing plan to 630-921-0611. And I'm going to get you either a digital copy of this or a hard copy of this. And we're going to show you exactly how we're going to market your home, how we're going to sell your home, get you absolute top dollar in the least amount of time possible, and give us a call, 630-921-0611. I hope you guys have an amazing weekend. Take advantage of this great weather, and we are going to see you next week on the Real Estate Radio Show at 9 o'clock on Saturday. We have a great guest coming up next week, and we'll look forward to seeing you. Have a great weekend, guys, and go sailing or go to a baseball game or something. All right, you guys, we will see you later, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks for joining us on Real Estate Radio with your host, Larry Shagman, the real estate therapist and top producing broker. Now go to TrustedAgentUSA.com and save thousands when you sell, buy, or invest. Illinois license number 475-145-795. Tune in next week for the ultimate real estate radio experience. Thanks for joining us on Real Estate Radio with your host, Larry Shagman, the real estate therapist and